Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. You've interrupted me cutting the cheese in my dining room.
That's not a euphemism. Hello, everyone.
Hi. Is it just me? The podcast where we talk about all sorts of utter nonsense.
Like cutting the cheese.
But actually, it's the stuff that's the most important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm one of your hosts. I'm Joe Elvin.
And I'm the other one. I'm James Williams.
We have a dose of double trouble with us this evening. I'm
we
saying
sure
this
do.
Evening, we're recording this at my house in the evening and we're already half a glass of wine down. So I'm a little bit worried.
We apologise now,
happen.
People.
We have comedians, authors, podcasters, absolutely hilarious women extraordinaire, the Scummy Mummies, aka Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Sorry you had to share a mic.
That's
we're on the budget.
Fine. Yeah. We've shared lots of things, haven't we, Ellie?
Oh, really?
We shared a midwife. Did you know?
Not at the same time. No. Our boys were born 11 days apart. This is before we even met.
Yeah.
And Alicia, I think her name was, she was very hot and young and Italian. And she did things to our vaginas that no man could ever have done.
No. Well, they could have if they had enormous fists.
Exactly.
But no man had ever been allowed to do.
And I was on a lot of drugs and just wanted something out of my vagina.
Wait,
but
are you
yes.
still talking about childbirth? Or that thing at university?
I wonder how many women's Me Too experiences have been at the hands of a midwife.
Exactly. She went in quite deep, actually. But anyway, we'll live to tell the tale.
Yes.
Are you still in touch with her?
If only
she asked they never speak to her again.
I'm sure she's listening right now. She's a big fan of the podcast.
Huge fan. I think she moved back to Italy. She saw too much.
Yeah, she was just like, oh God, no.
Too much British vagina.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my Australian bush.
She cannot wait for Brexit. She absolutely cannot wait. She wants
Get me out of here.
Get them out of Europe. With their giant vaginas.
Exactly. Anyway, hello, listener.
That's
in a nutshell.
I love where, like, less than 3 minutes in, and we've had how many vagina drop mentions already? Oh, it's, you know.
It's Minge City tonight.
I've come to the right place.
Welcome to the new Empowered 2019, James Williams.
I'm here for it.
We are here for vagina power.
I always have been.
Yeah.
In one way, shape, or form.
Not hard to believe.
I was going to say metaphorically, probably not physically.
Yeah.
Ladies, do you mind, ladies? We had this discussion earlier today.
Oh, who minds ladies?
Some people do.
Some people get quite militant about ladies, but patronising. How do you feel about that?
No, it came from you, though. It's not. I don't feel like it's a patronising thing.
I just can't.
You're too tired.
I can't bring up the energy to give a monkey.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I just can't believe the people that have the energy to get that angry about everything.
Yeah.
Let's get angry about other things.
Yeah. Yes, like cutting the nose off the cheese.
Women are called much worse words than ladies, I would suggest.
Well then, ladies, back to my original point. It was a night such as this. It's snowing, it's freezing, it's raining. It wasn't snowing, but it was pretty miserable when I had tickets for your Scummy Mummy stand-up show in gorgeous, glamorous Catford.
Oh, yes.
And I had to run home and then run out the door and made it by the skin of my teeth. Luckily enough, I had my keen bean friend who loves going out no matter in what weather. And she said to me, that must have been quite awful, just having to like rush from work. And I have to admit, it was quite awful. And then within 4 minutes of you guys being on stage, it was one of the best nights of my life. It was my so goodness. Funny.
Joe, no, seriously. You have such a sheltered life.
No, it's not true.
I thought you were very glamorous.
That's not true.
She hates rushing and being late as well, so that's a real compliment. And being flustered.
I was mega stressed. And you exercised.
You exercised that angst in 3 minutes.
But seriously, and I, the other thing I will say is, I don't know, I kind of thought that I'd heard all the mummy jokes. And that's not the entirety of what you guys do, but you get a lot of humor out of being parents and having young children and being exhausted. But it was so fresh and so funny. If you haven't seen Scummy Mummies Live, you absolutely should take the opportunity as soon as you can. And I know there's something coming up in April.
Is an opportunity very soon.
Or March. March.
March is a big Hackney gig, isn't
it? Yeah, huge Hackney gig. And also we're going to be doing the Underbelly Festival at South Bank. But we're going all over the country this year. And I think, can we say we're going to be at Edinburgh?
That's the plan.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
We can say that's the plan.
There's laughs, there's songs, there's costumes. There's audience interaction, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And that's just Edinburgh Festival. Yeah. And that's nothing to do with you girls.
Yeah. But exactly. You, I mean, and you guys have been doing it for quite a few years now, right?
Yeah. So we met just under 6 years ago. And then we've been doing the live shows just over 5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's been great. And it's sort of ramped up. I mean, now that our kids are a bit older, then we're sort of on tour a lot more. Turns out it's really nice not hanging out with your family. And it's love a premiere in. I'm a big fan now. As long as it's got a bath. I do like a bath in the...
I mean, my guilty secret is I didn't really appreciate going to the fashion shows until I became a mother.
Yeah.
And then just that thing of waking up and only getting yourself ready.
Honestly.
And having your eggs come to the door via a handsome Italian waiter.
The dream.
It wasn't that bad, I've got to say. Yeah.
Exactly. I had a 10-minute argument with my 7-year-old this morning at like 8 a.m. about why you shouldn't wear your woolly gloves to practice the guitar. And I did think to myself, I would rather be waking up alone in a Premier Inn with a hangover, quite honestly.
Maybe running into Lenny Henry.
Yes, that's it.
I do. Few gags.
You do have to shove him back in the wardrobe sometimes. It's very awkward.
Lenny. Had enough.
Well, he fits in the wardrobe these days.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask, are the kids at an age yet where they've started saying, stop putting me in your act?
I think they're still...
That's tough.
I was going to say, I mean, you know.
Yes, because they only see the PG version.
Right.
So we tour it at festivals. So we've done sort of like Port Elliot and Camp Festival and Wilderness. So they come along to that. But when we take out all the really hardcore naughties. And we don't simulate sex with each other, do we, at those ones?
No, not at those ones. No.
No.
Oh, very PG.
Well, you'd be very ripped off in the audience in that case then.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they come for, the nude suits and the humping. But
Well, that's what I Instagrammed.
Who liked it, Joe Elvin? Who liked that picture?
Why don't you say it, Helen Thorne?
It was Amy Schumer.
Oh, my God.
Marvellous. I mean, look, I've had many highlights in my life, you know, marriage, childbirth, but, you know, that kept me going for weeks, that did.
Yeah.
I was very pleased.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I think, it's weird because today, so we're doing a show at my son's school. To raise money for some whiteboard or
we're
something.
Incredibly good people, that's what we're
just
saying.
Very good.
This is worse than once I got David Gandy to give me some of his underpants range to auction for the school raffle. And I thought I might get kicked out of the school at that point, but now I don't know, this is next level.
Wow.
Taking your stand-up show to the kids' school.
Including the song about the PTA. performing that in front of the PTA. That's
really
going to be good.
I think they can't complain. I think we've got upper hand because we've actually raised some money for them, so we can... Just slack
You've got them over a barrel, basically.
Yeah,
I think so.
They need you.
We've got hands. So.
Yeah, so a couple of my son's friends said to me today when I went to pick up, they went, oh, Ellie, there's a poster of you in the school hall. And I was like, I hadn't really thought about that, about all these children. And I was like, am I wearing a gold suit? And they were like, yeah. And I was like,
how old's
what
your son?
He's 7.
Yeah, wait till he's about 12. He'll be like, oh my God. Oh,
you're so embarrassing.
He'll be tearing down those posters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. At the moment, he doesn't seem to care, but I had a little flash, like you're saying, of the future. And at some point, I'm going to have to do something about this.
Yeah.
I think Evie was about 10 when she said to me, it's just so embarrassing when we're out and you like say hello to people that we know.
Why would you do that, Mom?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? Give them the finger?
Yeah.
It's like,
your manners are so embarrassing.
Yeah. Just close your eyes till they're gone.
Yeah.
Fine.
It's just like... I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
I know. I mean, because we started the podcast when the boys were very, very little, and Joe wasn't even born when we started the podcast. And so we've shared.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah. Just very young.
Yeah.
I know we sound young, but we're 85. We shared a lot of filth. I would say almost too much. And now it's on the internet forever. So we have to live with that and work out what to do.
I'm sure you've the same thing that we have. I genuinely forget. I mean, obviously, what we talk about is very serious on this show, but I honestly forget half the shit we spew on a weekly basis. And then people come up to me, friends. Well, I forget they're listening.
Yeah.
And you put them in the show and then you get really royally told off, don't you? Or even worse, I get people just randomly sending me messages going, oh, when you did this, or I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? Or, oh, I hate that too. And I'm like, what? Because you just forget, don't you? You kind of go off into a little bubble and just spew.
And forget that people will listen.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Because our podcast has very much been nights at the pub over the last...
Oh, I love it. I got really drunk on your podcast.
Lovely. And we had a whole wheel of Brie, I remember.
We did.
I bought a kilo of Brie and then we finished off
with mustics.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah.
With what?
Oh, musk sticks. Don't get them started.
What's a musk stick?
They're Australian delicacy. It's wonderful. They sort of taste like sweet soap in a stick form.
I was going to say.
They're lovely. Yeah.
I was thinking like a joss stick? Or,
yeah. Kind of.
So it is.
But you eat it.
Oh, you eat it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you used to get like 5 for 10 cents when I was growing up. But
I mean, I love it in this country, and there's a reason for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I love
it. Very, very deprived.
I love a cherry ripe. I think that's the Australians. I'm very grateful
to
you.
That is my favourite chalk.
For bringing in cherry ripe. A cherry ripe smoothie is excellent. Ooh. If you've ever had one of those.
I like a mint slice, which is...
Mint slice from the fridge.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay,
nice.
Now I don't know what they're talking about.
We're
now.
We're going foreign now.
What are those pizza biscuits you made me eat?
Pizza shapes.
Oh, I should have bought
my husband loves those.
They're very
chicken
savory.
In a biscuit. My vegetarian husband loves chicken in a biscuit.
That sounds all kinds of wrong. That sounds like a bird within a bird within a bird. We've talked about those
chicken
before.
Chicken in a biscuit. And I always used
they're
to
just like drumstick-shaped biscuits that taste a bit like chicken crisps.
Oh.
And I'm a bit gross. I like to do a little pre-lick. Because there's so much flavouring on it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just do a little pre-lick
you
and then get
more.
Tiny lick.
It can't be good.
Oh, it's terrible.
But
it's
my favourite thing about your show is, and the book, well, the book is just called Scummy Mummies, right?
Yeah.
And it's available now.
It's still in print.
Is all the Scummy Mummy confessions.
Yeah.
There's a few songs in there and there's some sort of, I want to say the word essay, but that feels like so pretentious.
Wonderful narrative.
There's some writing in it. But yeah, so in our show, we give all the audience members, as you know, Joe, we give them all cards and pens and we ask them to write down their Scummy Mummy confessions.
I was at the bar when that happened.
Okay.
So
she was very engaged, member of your audience.
Well, I can't remember what it was that night, but I remember hearing the story and thinking, I would never have topped that. So,
We do get some absolute humdingers and we've saved all of them. So my shed is full of literally tens of thousands of these things now maybe we'll burn them all come the apocalypse or we'll do something with them.
Yeah, it's an incredible kind of snapshot of what motherhood is in Britain right now as well. So what we get, because James hasn't been to the show yet, is that, we get everyone to write their Scummy Mummy confessions and then we read out the sort of top 10 in the show and people vote for the scummiest mummy. And they're nothing we could ever imagine, or like all the jokes we've ever written, nothing is funnier than the truth or the awkward and horrible things that happen to you.
Please tell me there's
a sash.
You present a sash with scummiest mummy on it.
We have a cloak.
Oh, okay.
A cloak of filth. We have a scepter of neglect.
And a big scarlet letter. Yeah.
And give people some scum pain, which is very cheap Prosecco. So yeah, and that's a lovely, and that's sort of like the crescendo of the live show.
Yeah.
As a matter of interest, is it mainly mums or do you get lots of dads? What's the sort of mix for you at your shows?
I would be about 95% women, I think, and then a few confused men. And then we've got a few gay followers as well. But the podcast, I think we get much more sort of diverse listenership because I think they're kind of just like us as a double act.
And you get great guests on that as well.
Amazing guests.
Hint.
The really good ones we usually invite back 3 or 4 times. And then the others, we just once is, if they get too pissed, if they eat all the cheese, we just usually leave it.
Yeah.
We just don't run back.
And say they've orgasmed because they've had a musk stick. Yeah.
You did fillet that very nicely, my God. Joe Elvin.
Well, you know.
But the confessions we've
been from the western suburbs.
Yeah.
So we've been doing the show 5 years, so we do get some repeat confessions. There's always a lot of wee's in soft plays and sort of poos just in the pool. Left yeah. in the park.
And then there's what the kids do.
But there's
far away at Mayo Park.
Exactly. Who, I mean, yeah.
But there's always ones that surprise us as well, and that are just yeah. And one of our favourites ever is where they it was a couple. And they told that the mum's confession was that she told the three kids to go upstairs and get dressed for lunch, Sunday lunch with the great aunt and uncle. And the two older kids came downstairs, all, you know, suited and booted. And then the three-year-old came downstairs wearing the mum's French maid outfit.
Oh,
and they
God.
Were like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And so this woman obviously was in the audience, and it turned out her husband was in the audience too. So Helen said to him, what are you, the pool boy? And he went, nope, I'm the gladiator. You can't make that up.
No.
Like if that was in a sitcom.
Oh. I can't believe he actually said it.
Yeah. And God bless him. Yeah.
It was great. It was really,
it was
really,
a real moment.
Oh my God.
I dare I say it, girls. I mean, we've touched on so much already, but I feel we need to move on to some official topics.
Do we need to?
Yes, I think we should.
Right, you're the boss.
I know,
the man
sorry.
Is the boss.
Oh, God, I hate to. I'm sorry for mansplaining there. Please,
God,
no.
Oh, no. Shouldn't you be at a meeting of the patriarchy?
Oh, I know. I'm a scumbag.
He's kneeling up with one foot on a chair, hand on hip.
Legs splayed.
Yeah. Scumbag's our brand. Thank you very much. Also,
my great and glorious leader, Jacob Rees-Mogg, taught me everything I know.
Great guy.
Yeah, lovely. Top gent. Anyway, let's do this, shall we, ladies? So, first topic then this week, ladies, that word again, I'm so sorry. Anyway, here we go.
I am a lady, she says with a mouthful of food.
You never more ladylike, Joe. Right, the first topic this week, is it just me that occasionally worries that I might be a bit too honest for my own good? Ooh. Now, I say this because, you know, I like to live a truthful existence. You know, I mean, also, I've said this before, my issue is, I might as well say it out loud because I have one of those faces that just betrays me. I wear all my emotions on my face.
Yeah.
I have no poker face whatsoever. So I'd rather just be an open, awful person than basically a duplicitous one. You know what I mean? You might as well be an honest twat rather than just a nasty twat.
But then you know who your real friends are because you're not playing to anyone. You're just being yourself and they will love you for who you are.
True.
Well, what if you're a wanker?
Well, you can still have friends.
Well, that's true.
Maybe. I
find
know.
It so difficult to hurt anyone's feelings, even if sometimes I need to. I find that so torturously. And I think you, James, might be surprised to hear that because, you know, Helen, I'm an Aussie. I'm quite direct. But I just, when there are times when I'm twisting my spine in knots because I don't want to say to someone, you're a massive pain in the ass or... Do you know what I mean? I just can't do it. I can't do it.
No, not to their faces.
Is that is that confrontation or is it honesty? Because I think you're a very honest person, I think.
Well, I think what you see is what you get, but I think that's different to going, I'm just being honest.
No, we've talked about
it. You look crap today.
Yeah.
What's the point?
There are some people that get off on going out their way to point out something hurtful. Yeah, that's different. But I just think sometimes, I mean honesty, not necessarily about other people, about you. Because sometimes, you know, people say to me, how are you today? And I've now started saying, actually, I'm having a really shit day. And, you know, we are programmed, you know, in polite society as ladies to say, oh, I'm having a charming, lovely day. Right. Everything's fine. You paste a smile on it, don't you?
Yeah.
And now I can see people being quite thrown when I say things like, oh, actually, yeah, I've got no work on at the moment. I'm a bit worried about cash. And they're like, oh, it throws people. So it's those moments. So it's not so much about feedback to other people.
Right,
it's about me being a bit too honest about my own circumstances.
Yeah, see, I've always been, I like a good old whinge. I've always been happy to go, oh, dreadful, dreadful. I wake up at 6, I stub my toe, run out of milk. I hate everything. The apocalypse is coming. It's all over. So,
well, I guess you based your whole brand on being honest, right? It was the whole basically saying, because I guess it was against all that sort of yummy mumminess, right?
Yeah. We have never sugarcoated our experience and never said, oh, I mean, we always say after many confessions, yes, we do love our children. Yes, we do love them. Mm. But this is
they're
hard,
all
this is,
right. Let's be honest.
Yeah, they're hard work. I think we were part of that first kind of wave of mum bloggers and comedians and stuff who did that way, because there was a big kind of shift in the 90s. It was all very yummy mummy sort of stuff. But it's interesting when we on our Instagram account, we might take a photo of the inside of our car, which is basically just McDonald's and who knows, there's probably a dead mouse in there as well, and just like piles of rubbish. And we're like, oh God, is it, you know, again, is it just me, or is your car a wheel on bins, or a bin on wheels? Wheel on bins. I mean, it could be that too.
Either
a bin
or.
On wheels. But yeah, and everyone's like, that. "Oh my God!" You know, that's like me. And my husband says we're the only ones with cars like that, and everyone just went, "Yes, that's like me." So I think it was really kind of empowering, and I hate that word, but there was a bit of a relief when we started saying all this sort of honest shit. And also the nicest feedback we get is like, oh God, you've made me feel normal. So I think that is, it's been useful. It's been profitable.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I don't think podcasts would work if you weren't honest. I mean, the thing I think that works about yours, about this one, people always say to us, it's like listening to me and my mates, you know? Yeah. And I think if you're not prepared to basically put yourself out there, it's not for everyone. You know, we've worked with people and we've had guests that it hasn't worked because they're trying to present a very polished version of themselves, and it doesn't work. If you're not prepared to be honest, it doesn't make you very interesting.
I think I was thinking about, well, like you say, like the feedback thing. Yeah. Sometimes I do think, I mean, I write an editor's letter in You magazine every week, and I've been told before that, you know, God, you're so honest about, and I did Giovanna Fletcher's podcast, Happy Mum, Happy Baby, and I still get feedback from that saying, thank you for being so honest. And I read those and I think, should I have been a bit less honest?
Yeah.
Because
no, Joe, you only need to worry when they say, thank you for being so brave.
No, I've
brave,
had that.
Brave is the one that makes me go.
I've definitely had that.
Brave is the one that makes my, literally, my, I'm like, oh my God, I've really crossed a line here. Because that's the word you use.
I think with being a mum as well, and you will, I'm sure, relate to this. It's like, you know, I talked about how I was quite bored and I didn't really love maternity leave. I hated being pregnant. You know, I love my child and I was excited about having a baby, but being pregnant was awful. And I've had an enormous amount of feedback from people saying that they felt afraid to admit that because society doesn't let you.
No,
you're supposed to be glowing and happy and
blooming,
and talking and to bluebirds on your way to the yoga pregnancy class, you know. And I hated it, and I don't know, I just didn't really have any qualms about saying that. But it was after I'd had the no qualms and said it that people said, wow, can't believe you said that, you know. And I just thought, that's weird, don't you think?
No, and you will not be the only one. I think that's, as soon as you say your truth, you will find your people. And that's you have to not second guess what you think people want to hear.
Exactly.
And we're just ourselves. We can't do, I can't do other accents. I can't act.
God, no, you can't do that. No. But is that too honest? I don't know. Said that to you many times.
Stop doing
accents. But I think comedy as well, being honest is our job. I think it was Richard Pryor said, you know, with comedy, the audience want to know what's wrong with you. They want to know what has compelled
pain,
you
right?
to get up, to get up on stage like a dick and say all these secrets about your life to all these strangers. And I think that's just it. And I just think, it's arguably we're a bit too honest. You know, we sing a song in our show based on Eye of the Tiger about what happens to your body after you have kids, called Why the Vagina. And then I have a whole bit about my sex life and my husband and blowjobs and all this. And my dad is our roadie, so he's sat through these bits probably about 100 times.
Are we just basically a bunch of dreadful like show-offs?
Maybe
basically
we're just awful.
No shame whatsoever.
I love having no shame.
It's
joyous. I love it.
I do think it's healthy. And I think, you know, I think we've all been a bit like this before it became, you know, the whole mental health thing we talked about in the past. It's great, you know, people can be a lot more honest about it. But I'd like to say that's allowed me to be a lot more. I was being way too honest before that, you know. But
you're ahead of your time.
Well, I think we all were. But you know, I think it's only a good thing. Because I think if you, my belief is, somebody says to you, and I try to always not overshare in the sense that I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but I try to basically, if you ask me a question like, how was your day, without basically downloading too much and making you feel like it's, you're my therapist.
You don't want to be like that one in the Inside Out film.
Yeah.
You know, like the little blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Or Fun
yeah.
Bobby from Friends, you yeah. know what I mean? But, you know, it's just that very, yeah. that you have to yeah. toe that line. But yeah. I just think, you know, what it does do, it allows everyone else to be, to exhale and yes. basically say, yeah. oh God, actually I've had a shit day too. And you know, I'm a bit worried about this, that and the other. And it yeah. it connects you a lot more, I think, rather than everyone plastering on that sort of, you know, Stepford Wives. Yes, everything's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Well, there we go.
Speaking your yeah. truth, James yeah. Williams.
I mean, yeah. that's honesty done then?
Yeah. I thought that was horseshit.
I don't appreciate your honesty, actually. Yeah.
What a waste. This is a waste of my time.
Forgive my frankness.
Yeah. When I could be at home yeah. watching Marie Kondo again. Yeah.
It's wrong.
Let's go on to talk about driving yeah. instead.
Okay, let's keep on
like safe topics like driving.
That's right.
Which brings us seamlessly to our next topic. Right. Anyway, this is another one of mine. Is it just me that... Well,
it's all about you.
I know. I'm sorry, mansplaining once again. I'm an awful person. Try to leave right now.
What is a car? Tell me.
Well, you ladies would know what a car is.
Exactly.
You know, under a bonnet, you know. And I'm not talking Jane Austen bonnets. Anyway, is it just me that literally has no interest in driving? Now, this actually is weirdly because I would say as a man, you know, I get a bit of judgment because, you know, a lot of people go, well, you don't drive. And I really do feel it's very much, you're not, I hate to say it. It's almost like a question of your masculinity because yeah. you don't. And I have a driver's license. I just haven't driven in 24 years.
It's very interesting you say that. And my husband will probably be very cross when I mention this. And he's next door, so I'm sort
you're
of
whisper,
lowered yeah. my voice.
Because no one will find out. It's just us
yeah,
four.
Yeah, 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 yeah. No one listens to this, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We fight if Ross drives. So I do pretty much all the driving because he's much better at navigating and looking at the maps and the wiggly lines
looking
on the A to Z.
Maps? It's not 2009. What are you talking about? Get an app.
You're just blowing my mind now.
Get
but even
the Waze on.
Yeah,
get
no,
the
no,
Waze
the Waze.
On.
I'm rubbish at that even. Oh. Like the minute it starts trying to explain a roundabout to me in the fifth exit, what the hell is going on?
You need the man.
Can't
to
bear
between
it.
Fourth and sixth,
I need
it's not
the
rocket
man.
Science. It's really not rocket science.
And he's just, I don't know. I just feel like I'm a better driver. Oh my God. Ooh. I'm so getting divorced.
Yeah.
But it does feel like a masculine thing to drive, and that I'd please don't shoot me down in flames, feminists. But when I say to my female friends, oh, you know, I kind of do all the driving, they're always really shocked.
Yeah. Well, no,
and it's still the thing, right?
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
quite a few of our female friends. Actually, we have Joe and I mutual friends in common who, and their husbands don't have a license, and so they always drive, but they actually say it winds them up, not because it's
They're always the designated
yeah,
driver.
That's yeah. what it yeah, is. Yeah, yeah, it's like yeah. you know, but to be honest with you, I remember growing up in South Wales where you needed to drive. It was almost like. It was like literally getting your wings. You could literally get a social life. You could drive to like the nearest town and actually go to see the cinema. So see the cinema, go to the cinema, see a yeah. film.
It was never, there were only yeah. films on, of course.
They didn't have the talkies in Wales.
No, the talkies.
Just look at the building.
They've just got there now, I believe. Yeah. And avocados have just arrived as well. But anyway, no, at the time, you know, people couldn't wait. And on their 17th birthday, everyone was given driving lessons. And I remember at the time, even though I knew I was desperate to get away from where I lived, I wanted to move to London. But I even remember at 17, I didn't have that really raging passion to learn to drive. It just didn't really interest me, but I kind of did it because it was what everyone did at 17 and passed my driving test. But then I moved to London, and in London I would argue you don't need a car. So yeah. for me, I've got a driver's license. I would never, if your life depended on it, I would literally get behind the wheel of a car and drive you to a hospital.
But
I wouldn't feel safe doing it.
I wouldn't feel safe.
You'd be better off
since you drove, and that was in bloody Wales.
You'd be better off just yeah. dying rather yeah. than me yeah. driving you to the hospital.
Don't right. trust her. She can't use Waze. I mean, really.
Well, you'll get there eventually, you know. But I was intimidated to drive in London for the longest time. And now I feel like if you can drive in London, you can drive anywhere.
But see,
it's so aggressive. Yeah. It's so, you know, you have to be aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I learned to drive quite late because I grew up in London. I grew up around here in southeast London and didn't learn to drive until I was about 30. And then I was, before we started hiring my dad, I was our roadie for a number of years. And I find more stressful than driving in London, I find when you're on country roads, like in Devon or somewhere.
Oh, yeah, in Cornwall, where it's all like single track.
Yeah.
It's really awful.
And you don't know the roads.
Yeah.
But the person behind you in their Landy knows the roads back to front and they're pissed off that you're driving at the legal limit and they get right up your bottom.
Yes,
and
I know
find
that
very
I know that experience. I actually quite enjoy annoying those people.
Slow it down a few miles.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wait, Landy.
Yeah.
And also,
I'm that person. Pass ag.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure it happens in London, but people in the country, in my experience, are more likely to be driving drunk. I'm not saying they all are, but because we did that gig in Somerset, do you remember, in that pub?
Yeah, we did a lovely gig in a posh pub and there was lots of lovely ladies. And afterwards that we were meeting them and we were like, oh, so how are you getting home?
Because they're absolutely smashed off their nuts.
Completely smashed and lovely and sloshing all over the place. And they're like, oh no, we're driving.
Oh,
it's
my
five and drive.
God.
Five and drive.
No Uber there, is there?
No Uber. No. So no, but they do have those hedgerows. And I was thinking,
and that's the thing, but they
it's
do
like a bumper car down.
But they also tear around those blind bends.
Yeah.
Oh, like I mean, the speed that someone comes at me head on in those windy roads in Cornwall, and I can't understand how. It's like, because I drive so timidly around that place, like 15 miles an hour, beeping the horn around the corners.
You'd have five drinks, you see. If you were doing five and drive, you'd be a bit bolder.
Oh.
Five and drive.
I'd be in a ditch.
I mean, five and die.
I have to put my hand up. I don't have my license. And I came from country Australia where you needed to have a license to get anywhere.
Where are you from in Australia, Dars?
I'm from country Victoria in the Goulburn Valley.
Oh, God.
Which is awful.
Get out of my house.
What's the, for you know, English, but what's the sort of equivalent of that?
It's very flat. It's the fruit.
Probably
growing.
Like Devon.
Oh, well,
yeah. It's quite nice.
Yeah, I'm joking.
No, it's very rural, very, very sparse.
Like Rutland, is it?
It's
something
very
like
flat,
that.
Very flat. Or I would say almost like Norfolk Broads, you know, oh. Really
well, I've
flat.
Never been there.
Oh, again, quite nice.
Yeah, it's all right. But yeah,
but everything is a bit greener in England, isn't it? Is it just, not?
Yeah, it's got a lovely filter on it. It's a lovely filter on England.
So
I moved to Melbourne and went to uni at 18. And then I met my now husband, my only husband, at 19.
Oh, really?
Current husband.
Yeah.
The current Mr. Thorne.
Yes. And that was when I was 19 and now I'm 40. So he's been my designated driver until I met Ellie, who became my designated wife driver. So
you've been threatening to learn to drive for a few years.
I'm quite scared. I feel like there's
awful.
I'm the same.
I had to do my test again in England because I'm an idiot and I left the admin too long to change my Australian license, so I had to sit the test and do the whole thing again. It's really I can drive passing the test is really hard.
I've finally broken the cycle. Every year up until this year, my New Year's resolution was to do a refresher driving course.
Yeah.
And I've finally broken free of those shackles. I've gone, I'm not ever going to do it. And I feel free for it.
Yeah.
But you know, I have to say, I do feel bad because I find it really comes to play when you go on holiday. Like when you go to, because we are lucky, we live in a city whereby you can literally get around. You don't need to drive really, do you?
Yeah.
But when you go to places like LA or places like Wales.
Or Cornwall.
You know, you really do need it. And then I'm aware that I become the albatross around my friend's neck because you just don't divide up.
That is what they say.
They do. They call me the Albie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just don't divide up the sort of, you know, the labour, the driving labour. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about, you know, friends and couples. I think probably do argue about if one doesn't drive and the other does, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have to say, I don't feel weird about it and I don't feel guilty about it. So sorry.
And
as
a driver who drives a lot, I just don't care what
you don't,
people do their lives.
No, I don't sort of like treat you like a freak.
But that's what my point, I guess, is. I do feel like there are people in this world who love to drive. I have friends who are, and
if I'm in the car, I want to be the driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just do.
Do remember Ellie once saying, I don't know if she was sober or not, but she said, even if you do learn to drive, you're not going to drive.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ellie.
Like with the car.
Yeah.
Well, oh, no, I would no, I wouldn't have said that. I would totally, for a long time, I would have liked you to drive, and then we just gave up and I started paying my dad.
We pay a nice man, Ellie's dad. Or...
No, I would trust you to drive, totally. Okay.
But what are you going to do when you're a granny?
I know, exactly. No, I do. Look, I turn 40 in October.
James, what are you going to do when you're a granny?
Well, you know, it does keep me awake at night, you know, well. Being a granny. I'll be living in the granny flat, so I won't have to go anywhere. I'll be in the grounds.
I'll have self-drive motorised something course. Or other. Well,
apparently, self-driving cars are literally not that far away.
I don't trust those.
No. Anyway, I do, because my kids are 7 and 10 now, and Will does all the driving to all the...
Your kids will be able to drive soon.
True.
Make them your Uber drivers.
Exactly. I do feel a bit guilty. He does all the, like, the swimming lessons and all the bullshit.
It is scary. I think that's why I put it off for so long.
Yeah, I feel
scary learning to drive and in London. But I'll set you up for me driving instructor Keith. Keith's amazing, the most patient man I've ever met, and hilariously incredibly superstitious.
Oh,
to the point where he will not give you a driving lesson if it's a Friday the 13th.
Wow,
because he cannot leave his house.
That's I love Keith. Also, I feel like
relaxing.
Keith.
And if you see a magpie, you have to salute it and say, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie."
And I feel like with the name Keith, he was born to be a driving instructor. Yeah, that's a very good, solid driving instructor name, I think.
He's absolutely brilliant, unless it's a Friday the 13th, right. In which case he's no good to you. But
thankfully, it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. No. You still quote him. He said, "Oh, Keith said this," and when she's like reverse parking, this is the Keith method. I feel quite safe in Keith's hands.
He's the greatest influential figure in my life, apart from Marie Kondo.
Yes.
Keith and Marie Kondo.
It's like your Yoda.
They're like, they're like better than my parents.
Well, that's brought Keith down in my estimation. I was on board with Keith for a second.
She was really warming to Keith until you dropped the Kondo. Well, if you are sat there listening to us thinking, "What, Joe's totally wrong, I love Marie Kondo," or "You want Keith's number to teach you how to drive," we do love hearing from you guys. So do drop us an email at the usual email address. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And in fact, we had a lovely email this week.
You have to sit here while we just read out some love for
us. This is specifically, actually, yes, it's about our Dido episode. It's from Sophie Beckett, and she said she's definitely with us on the whole eating thing. If she hasn't eaten by a certain time, she gets a headache. When I'm eating one meal, I'm thinking about the next, as we always say we do. She said, "I'm also that person who studies a menu before I go anywhere. What I'm going to order. Does this make me weird? I think I'm organized." Now, I have a friend that actually gets very upset if you look at the menu, because she loves the surprise of us all going together and seeing the menu.
She needs to chill out. Who is it? Who is this person? Do I know them?
The world is literally on fire and you're getting calls about that.
I mean, in a weird way, I guess it's a bit like, you know, believing in Santa. You don't ruin this. But
hang on a minute, what?
Why is what I'm going to eat a pleasant surprise for you?
I can't really defend the rationale really, but I think in her head it's like, because she's a big foodie, so she loves the idea of going and just seeing the menu and everyone reacting to it at the same time.
She's a big foodie. There's no way she hasn't checked the odd menu before she goes to a restaurant, but, like hell.
But yeah, I can't help this person,
don't I?
Well, we talked about it before. We said that you need to look at the menu because you need to work out your food options around the other meal, because we always say if you're going to go hard or go home when you go for dinner, you then want to kind of balance it out, don't you? So you don't want to like shoot your load.
If you're going for
a gastronomic like extravaganza, and like you're gonna if you're gonna have the five
fried chicken and
you want to then go a bit lighter, so you need to that's my argument for looking at the menu in advance.
Yes, because if you're having like sashimi and a light salad, that's different to like 7 pastas or whatever.
Just turn up, look at the menu, say what you want to eat it. It's not rocket science.
I think if you want to look at the menu beforehand,
it's totally fine.
I think that's okay.
I think we all basically said the same thing. Sophie, we don't think you're weird.
No.
We think James Friend is, though.
You can tell us after the finishes.
Yeah.
And we can judge them.
Anyway, thank you, Sophie, for your email. And if you are listening, I want to get in touch, please do so. Send us your topic suggestions and guest suggestions. The email again is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore.
Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whenever you're ready.
Go.
Okay, guys, is it just me or do you still have anxiety dreams about not doing your homework or revising for an exam? I have them all the time.
Well, I work to deadlines every week, so you can well imagine. Yeah.
Yikes. You basically have to do your homework every week.
I have a dream most weeks where I wake up, I get up, I have a shower, I put my makeup on, I yell at the husband and the dog and the kid, I have some breakfast, I dry my hair, I get dressed, I leave for work, and then I wake up.
Wow.
And I've kind of done it.
Yeah.
And then I have to do it again.
Oh, I was going to say, that's the most boring dream I've ever had.
And it's so boring and it's so real.
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
So is it shaking in your bed?
Yeah.
So is it just then that, oh my God, I can't believe I've actually now got to do all that again?
And
I'm bloody
exhausted by the time I get up.
Oh, but you've now made me remember. Did you ever have those dreams? It mainly happened when I was a teenager. You'd have those dreams and you'd have a dream that, you know, you'd met that person or you'd done something and it was so exciting, and then you'd wake up and you'd be absolutely gutted that it wasn't real.
Well, exactly. I was talking to another parent at the school the other day, and they were saying, I won't use his real name. They were saying, Miles's name actually came to me in a dream. And I said, oh, really? Yes, that's why my youngest son is called Jeff Goldblum. Naked Jeff Goldblum, to give him his full title.
Jeff Naked Goldblum.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I have a dream, because I did English literature at university. So I dream that I'm back at university and it's the end of term and I'm supposed to have handed in this essay about this novel that I haven't read and I haven't been to any of the lectures and I just, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I don't know if that's a dream or just a flashback.
I was going to say,
happened about once a term.
Oh, were you diligent or were you...
No.
Yeah, because that's my... I'm with you. I absolutely have my anxiety dream is I've got a dissertation to hand in that I literally have not written. I'm supposed to be spending a year writing it and it's due in tomorrow and I have not written one word.
Yeah,
that's my anxiety dream and I get it quite often, but that's because it was actually true and I did leave my dissertation till the last week, so it's kind of steeped in truth.
Yeah,
but then it is weird because some people have the teeth dream, don't they? That's their anxiety dream where teeth fall out.
What do you think it means? I quite often have the dream where I really really need a shower to get ready for work, but I do it in public somewhere. So it might be in the office at work and I will just be naked, like chatting to people whilst I'm in the shower.
I mean, you have
that's as practical.
I mean,
that's a time saver. It's a time saver.
She did have spray tans in the office. I mean, that wasn't too much of a stretch of the imagination.
Was to the lovely jewels. Did you spray you?
Not there, no. Okay. Other people can be sprayed.
You should be sprayed by anyone.
I don't care who sprays me.
That's right. Yeah. I need my glow.
I've had not many, but I've had a few dreams where you and I are doing a show together and we get there and we're on stage and suddenly we realise that we did write that song but we forgot to learn it and we just don't know the words, and then the audience starts drifting or we just forget what we're doing. But what I quite like about these dreams is they're never that stressful because you and I are just like, we don't get in a panic like when I'm having my dream about university. We're like, oh, don't worry, we'll just busk it. Just get up, be funny, it'll be all right. And because we've got each other, it's sort of it's sort of all right. So well, I think that's quite
but that's what I think it's so weird about dreams, isn't it? Yeah. Because you're sort of sold this slightly false idea that dreams are supposed to be really dramatic and, like, you know, they have to be really memorable.
Yeah.
And I find that most of my dreams are just really, like, really boring.
I go shopping in my dreams in like, real time. And I will, like...
Are you at the self-scan checkout?
I will wake up and I've done an hour in Topshop. And I'm really disappointed when I'm like, think, God, that was a really good dress, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, yeah.
But then you design it, Joe, and make
a
million.
I'm very shallow, basically, is what I'm telling you all tonight.
To have an hour in Topshop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only place I get it in my dreams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember early on when Ellie and I, you know, we're getting to know each other and just started, like, writing comedy and rehearsing. And then one day we're rehearsing, and about halfway through, I said, do you know what, Ellie? I had a dream that you had a penis. And it went really weird for the rest. I was like, why did I tell her that?
Ellie.
I was surprised because I normally don't tell that people until I've known them for quite a long time. So it was like, well, she's a psychic.
What I was going to say, you're a soothsayer.
Oh my God. And I just, you know, when you've said something, like, why did I say that?
Well, that brings us back to the original point. I live a very honest life.
It's most days.
It is that you've touched on the disturbingly rude dreams.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I'm sure I've told Ross this, so it's fine. I mean, it's like when you have random dreams about having sex with people. And I dreamt there was this guy that we used to see every morning in a previous job who made my toast every morning. And I barely gave this guy a second thought. I'd say hello, blah, blah, blah. No thought at all. But we got it on in a dream.
Wow.
And I went to work as normal. And when I was standing there ordering my toast, when he looked at me, I remembered. I was like, oh my God, that's so weird. I don't, you know. And then he smiled at me in such a weird way.
It's like he knew.
And I couldn't go back to the toast shop for weeks because I was just
no one
like,
buttered your toast quite like he did, Joe. Let's be honest.
What is that all about? Oh. And now you're going to pretend that you've never had random sex dreams, but I'm telling you, everybody does.
But then it is that thing, isn't it? Again, going back to Friends, when Phoebe's furious with Ross because in her dream he's done something and she carries it through. I mean, I've never had. Have you ever had that where
I have that with Ross all the time. He's always like, he's always out clubbing with other women dreams.
I think that's one of the reasons my husband and I got together, because my husband and I, we met when we were 18, but we didn't get together till we were about 24, 25, and we were very good friends for a long time. And then I had an erotic dream about him, and it did change. The way I felt about him. Obviously, that's worn off now.
Yeah.
We've been together
stuck
a long
with him
time.
Now. Yeah.
And then we're legally bound. But
I love
I think
that.
It did change my
the power.
It sort of went, oh, and Goody. It turned out the dream was right. It was enormous.
Oh my God.
But that's because really, I can't believe I'm saying this after what I just said, but I mean, it's all in your head. So somewhere in the back of your head.
Yeah.
You fancied him.
Yeah.
A door opened.
But I didn't fancy the sandwich guy. I know I didn't.
I know who. I know exactly who she's talking about.
I don't know. It's weird, right?
Funny.
Yeah.
What's the universe trying to tell you? That's what I think. It is.
You need a filling.
Yeah. Or you need to change up your breakfast order.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah. Let's go with that, everybody.
Yeah. You've made it weird, Joe. You've made it weird.
I have made it weird.
Was it Subway? 6-inch hearty Italian, please.
Hold the meatball.
I think he was Italian.
Yeah. I think he was. Because I know exactly who she's talking about, so it is even funnier.
Was it Gino De Campo?
Yeah. I do annoyingly find him quite attractive.
Do you?
He's quite hot.
I think he's very funny, which makes him hot.
Yeah.
I don't think he's funny.
I think he is funny. I think he is funny.
One of those ones you have to go, shh, no, don't do it. Oh. Let's just do the
talking. I think Gino De Campo is one of those people that actually there's going to be a big reveal. And in fact, he talks like Jacob Rees-Mogg. And the whole thing is...
Yeah, let's see if he'll come on the podcast.
And reveal his true self.
Yeah,
his
true moan after he hears this.
Receive pronunciation self.
It's worse than yours. And that's saying something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, there
exhausted.
We go. I know. Yeah, are you ready for another sex dream?
I'm ready for another mundane getting ready before I get ready dream. Yeah.
Calm down.
If I go home tonight and have just a dream about my mundane day, daily routine, I'm going to be really pissed off with you. Then I'll be like,
just don't have sex with me.
I'll hold
That's
it against
you.
I will try, but I am but flesh and blood, Joe. Well, I think that nicely wraps things up on that beautiful sex dream.
And we've had a buttload of cheese, so who knows what we'll dream tonight.
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Going to be some crazy ass dreams. Girls, thank you.
If you're still listening.
Girls, ladies, I don't know what to say anymore. I feel the wrong...
We actually prefer the term slags. Your big slags.
Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Your great big slags.
You know, that's honest, right?
Yeah. That's it. That's often what I say.
Honest. Yeah.
Slaggy fun.
Yeah. When we're driving around the country and we go, can you believe that's our job to be slags for money? Like, can you believe what we're doing?
And also, we also accept the term MILF. Mother, I'd like to forget. Yeah.
It's so, moved on.
Yeah. I don't think that's what the F stands for.
No.
Oh, it is now, Kate. Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been really, really good fun.
Thank you for having us.
It's been an absolute joy. Thank you.
And let's just finish off this cheese,
shall
we? Come
back again.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.